Hey, hey, windy day. Okay, hot topic, and certainly generated by the announcement yesterday by Climate Change and Energy Minister Chris Bowen announcing changes to the Hunter Region's offshore wind zone. It'll now cover 1,800 square kilometres from Port Stephens to Swansea, and that's 1,000 square kilometres smaller than the original proposal. It'll also start 20 kilometres from the coast at Port Stephens, and that's about 9 kilometres further offshore than first proposed. And it'll extend down to Swansea and be more than 35 kilometres offshore there. A lot of local businesses, the Climate Council and the Jobs Alliance have praised the announcement yesterday by Chris Bowen as a key for the future of the renewable energy mix. And there's going to be another announcement today about this hydrogen hub being established here. So renewable, certainly the buzzword. I mentioned earlier this morning, one of the companies that's certainly interested in investing in this wind farm off the Hunter Coast is OceanX. Their CEO is Andy Evans, and Andy is on the line. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Richard.
First of all, are you new to this game of, you know, wind turbines, Andy, OceanX?
No, look, we've been the longest established company in Australia. We started about 11 years ago with a project in Victoria, the Star of the South. So we've been going about it quietly for about 11 years now.
Right. Now, we don't have any offshore wind farms, and a lot of people are up in arms about this, but as I understand it, they're fairly common in the Northern Hemisphere, these offshore wind farms. Is that correct?
Yeah, look, very common in Europe, and they've really come about the last 25 years or so. You know, the wind at sea is longer and stronger and removes a lot of the other issues as usually associated with onshore wind farms.
Okay. How many are we talking about? I mean, you're interested in tendering for this. What, the whole thing or a section of the wind zone, or would you like to your company take over the whole show?
Look, just a section, Richard. Under the new laws that came in last year, we're only entitled to about a third of the area that's being set out for the feasibility licences. So we're going to be up to around about 100 turbines or so for our project.
Okay, 100 turbines. What will they look like, Andy?
Well, I think the key thing to note is, like, given the distances from shore, they really won't look like much to anyone from the shoreline. So there'll be very minimal visibility, especially on, well, look, unless it's the clearest of days, at 30 kilometres, you really won't see anything other than the smallest tip on the horizon. But they're mainly composed of steel with blades, really similar to onshore wind farms, other than the fact that they'll be out to sea a long way from the coastline.
And up to, what, 260 metres high? Is that the limit, I think?
Yeah, that's a tip height. So when the blade's at its very highest apex, it'll be about 260 metres.
Right. I believe this wind zone was substantially bigger. Why has it been shrunk?
Look, I think, you know, the minister has gone out the last 2 months and run a public consultation process and take into account shipping lanes that may be around the area, and also community concerns, particularly around Norahead and the like. So that's been taken into consideration. So there's been a thorough process the last few months.
All right. Look, I had an email that was sent to me by the Newcastle Port Stephens Game Fish Club, and they put in a submission, and they were very much against it being established. I'll thank Nigel, and this was the submission they made to the government. They spoke about noise pollution, habitat loss, effect on seabirds, impacts on fishing and marine life in general, and also security issues and defence. They were suggesting that submarines could hide under these things. Have all of these things been looked at prior to the announcement yesterday by the minister?
They have been. They've been taken into account. I think what everyone needs to be very cognizant of is the fact that we're about to go through the most stringent approval process out there. There's three layers of approvals required. So we're only about to embark on a 5 to 7 year process of doing studies. So like most things in Australia, it'll be stringently reviewed, and we have, you know, a number of approvals to get. So there'll be a number of issues we've generally got awareness of now, but we'll also have to, you know, build that awareness through various studies. We won't be getting approved if there's, you know, a sizable impact on anything.
Right. And how far off? I mean, if you put in your submission and you win approval to do it, what sort of a time frame are we looking at?
Look, assuming that we've put in an application by the 14th of November, there's been a 6-month process to get a licence. even once we get the license, we're looking at May of next year, it's another 5 to 7 years before we actually start constructing.
And what's in terms of money, what sort of an investment is your company, OceanX, looking at to make this happen?
But over the next 5 years, you're really looking at over $200 million to go through all your studies and approvals. So it's a massive expenditure, a lot of money involved, and then, you know, if we are lucky enough to go ahead and build, you then look at a further about $10 billion to build a project.
$10 billion. Do you get any government assistance with that?
No, look, there's nothing flagged. I think the great thing that the industry's got at the moment is you've got, you know, all the largest players in the world have been building these for over 20 years. Are assembled here in the Hunter, so they've really got the confidence in the region to go ahead and investigate.
We mentioned earlier that these are quite common in the Northern Hemisphere, but they're a lot closer to shore, aren't they? And they're anchored to the bed. These will be a lot further out and will be floating. How are they sort of held in place?
Yeah, look, for each turbine, there are four anchors that are put into bed. They're about 10 metres long. And then you have, look, at the moment, steel chains. It'll be looking at synthetic cables then going up to a large sort of steel base at the sea level and then going above. So they are very taut. There'll be minimal sway. So they're not going to be out there in the ocean moving about like a lot of people may fear at the moment.
And I'm assuming they all come to... How many of these things are you proposing? And do they all individually connect to the shore or somehow come together as one cable to bring the power back to shore?
Yeah, we're thinking about 100 turbines that are all mainly interconnected. They then tie into an offshore substation, which is many kilometres from the shoreline, and then from that substation there's an individual export cable that then comes back in subsea and then underground into a connection point.
Right, okay. Interesting. You're obviously excited about the fact that now this is the second offshore wind zone that has been proposed by the government, but a massive investment on the part of your company. You've obviously got some big investors, Andy.
Yeah, look, we're quietly excited, Richard. We've been going about this look up in New South Wales for about 3 years now. So we're lucky enough to partner with Equinor, a Norwegian company, who will bring a lot of experience and opportunity for the region. So we're quietly excited at the moment. Look, we think it's exciting for the region that there's a lot of promise being recognised really from really around the world. So I think it's a great opportunity for the region just to investigate at this stage.
Okay. Cost of living is obviously a huge concern. Is this going to be expensive? I mean, you're talking about a $10 billion investment. And people are concerned about this transition to renewables. Our power bills are going to go through the roof.
Look, I mean, the flow through the bills is certainly going to be positive. I mean, it's a simple supply and demand opportunity. The greater the supply, the more the price goes down. So it's a great opportunity. And look, the great thing is we've got 7 to 10 years really before we start generating. So we've got an opportunity to get the most of technology and experience from around the world to really bring a number of benefits. Look, the reduction in price is one, but obviously new economic opportunities for a workforce going forward is a really key benefit.
Okay, the workforce. How many jobs do you think you'll envisage employing? How many people do you think this will actively employ?
During the construction period of a 4 to 5 year period, you're looking at 3,000 plus jobs for about starting late 2020s. The real benefit, you know, is once you get into the operations process, you're looking at up to 300 permanent jobs, which will all be local jobs. It won't be the fly-in, fly-out model. You need, these are 24/7 operating structures, so you really need locals working on it, and it'll be up to 300 jobs for about 30 years or so.
Okay. Andy Evans is my guest, CEO of the company OceanX, and they're one of the companies interested in developing a wind farm off the Hunter Coast after the announcement yesterday by Chris Bowen, our Energy Minister. Are there many other companies interested in doing what you want to do, Andy?
Look, there are a number, Richard. If you look at the recent process in Gippsland and Victoria, there were almost 30 companies that submitted feasibility license applications. We'd be expecting a similar sort of number to be looking at the Hunter at the moment. There's about 10 or so at the moment that have been visible. But look, there'll be a lot more that'll come out and make submissions by the 14th of November.
Okay. Look, I'm sure you've already outlined this, but all going well, if your submission is accepted, how soon do you think you could start manufacturing and getting these things up and running?
We'd be looking by 2030 to have the first turbine out there producing electricity. So it seems like a long way away, and it is, but we really need to start going as quickly as we can.
All right. Appreciate your time this morning, Andy, and good luck with the submission.
Thanks, Richard.
Andy Evans, CEO of OceanX, one of the companies interested in establishing a wind farm here off the Hunter Coast. That's the second zone that's been announced for Australia. We don't have any yet, but could be plenty on the way.